Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is K4EI activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater, owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association, and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for all licensed hams, FARA members or not, for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as operating procedures, communication modes, technical activities, radios, antennas, and similar information related to amateur radio. In addition, the net serves as a demonstration of the practice, procedure, and discipline of amateur radio on-the-air voice protocol and net operations. These skills are vitally important in the event of crisis communications, and it is the intent of FARA to build or refresh these skills through its nets. This is K4EI. My name is Jeff, Juliet Echo, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, and I'll be your net control this evening. First, a few quick announcements. We've got our informal, our next informal club breakfast coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, December 30th, at 8 a.m. at the Bistro at Fauquier Hospital. Additional information, if anyone needs, is at w4va.org. Our next VE test session will be several weeks after that. That'll be Saturday, January 20th, 2024, and that'll be at 9:30 a.m. at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, the Porter Branch, and that's at 2001 Parkway Boulevard in Stafford, Virginia. And again, information is available at w4va.org. And finally, club dues are due. Please see the w4va.org website if you have any questions, or if you'd like to pay. You can pay online through PayPal there. It makes it very, very quick and simple. Let's see, we had our FARA monthly meeting a few days ago, last Thursday. It was great seeing many of you, and many thanks to Rich, W-A-K-R-Z, for his excellent presentation on the State CUSO Party Challenge. And to Andy, K1RA, for describing the SDR architectures that he has implemented at his QTH for quite a long time now. Many of us in the ham radio community have benefited from Andy's public-facing SDR capability. That's all the announcements I have. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to bring up? If so, please call K4EI now. Nothing heard. Okay, so for the topic of the week, I thought we'd talk about broadcast radio, RFI. We're all familiar with WKCW, 1420 AM, our friendly local commercial radio station with its broadcast antenna just north of Warrenton on Route 29. WKCW is licensed to run 22,000 watts during the daytime and 60 watts at night. It went on the air in January of 1960, and it's been broadcasting ever since. Steve, K3KQ, raised the question a couple days ago on the FARA Reflector whether perhaps WKCW has reduced their operating power output of late. It's an interesting question given the challenges that radio station has imposed on local hams over the years. And so with that, tonight's question is, how many of you experience any kind of RFI from WKCW? If you do, what bands and what antennas and what scenarios do you find most challenging? And what do you do to alleviate the problem? If you're fortunate enough not to experience any problems with WKCW, have you ever had similar problems involving broadcast radio facilities at a different location? So please consider comment on that when your turn comes around. With that, let's go ahead and do some check-ins. Let's go ahead and see if there are any EchoLink or internet-connected stations first. Please call K4EI now. Okay, nothing heard. Do we have any mobile stations? Okay, nothing heard there. All right, let's go ahead and do general check-ins. And again, if y'all would do me a favor and give me your call with a measured, even cadence so I can try to get it down, please call K4EI now.
This is K1HTV.
K2PI. Whiskey Delta 8, Quebec, Charlie November. W4RKU.
NB3A.
K1RA.
Kilobyte 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
K04VNZ, Chuck in Oakland, no comment.
Evo Oscar 4, Bravo, Charlie November.
November 2, Foxtrot Whiskey.
Whiskey 8, Bravo Tango.
Okay, let's hold it there one quick second. I'm going to run down the list I've got, and I missed a few of you. So please make note of where you announced and where we've got a problem, and we'll do some rechecks real quick here. I've got K1HTV, K2PI. I missed the station right after that. Then I've got W4RKU, and I missed the station after Kevin. I've got K1RA. I've got KM4OZH. I've got KO4VNZ, no comment. And then I missed the station after Chuck there. And then I think I've got N2SW, and I've got W8DT. So the third station in right after K2PI. Can you please come back to K4EI?
So Whiskey Delta 8, Quebec, Charlie November, WD8QCN.
Okay, WD8QCN, got you there. And then a couple down, the one right after W4RKU. Can you please come back with your call?
I think that was me, November Bravo 3 Alpha.
Roger that, yes. And I thought it might be you, but I didn't get it all. Okay, and let's see. The station after Chuck, KO4VNZ, the station after him, can you please come back, please?
Kilo Oscar 4, Bravo Charlie November.
Kilo Oscar 4, Bravo Charlie November. Okay, I've got you. And then I've got N2F. Is that N2FW?
Roger.
Okay, very good. And I've got WABT, Travis, after that. All right, any additional check-ins, please call K4EI now.
Kilo Delta 4, Whiskey Lima Delta, Danny, no comment.
With the KD4 station, please come back.
Kilo Delta 4, Whiskey Lima Delta.
Roger, roger. I've got KD4, Whiskey Lima Delta. Thanks for checking in. Any other check-ins? All right, very good. Not hearing any. We'll get started. And once again, I appreciate y'all's forbearance, guys. I have a tremor in my hand, which makes it difficult to write, which is why I ask for folks to give them to me slowly. And even that's a stretch sometimes. So anyway, I appreciate your forbearance. K1HTV, Rich, let's start with you this evening. How are you?
I'm K4EI in the net from K1HTV. Doing fine. A couple things happened the past couple of days. Had a solar flare, the largest one of the solar cycle, an X2.4 flare on Friday. Expected a coronal mass ejection, but other than the K index briefly going up to 5 today, the CME pretty much has passed the Earth and has not really caused too much of a problem. The K index is now 3 or 3.5 or so. Solar flux climbed slightly to 155. The higher bands are still in pretty good shape. Some new de-expeditions on that started just today. VU2N from the Lakadive Islands. Nicobar and Andaman Islands. VU4. VU4 November. Copied them on 20 meters. I could see them find the waterfall. Got very few decodes. And then I looked on the map of the magnetic activity in the north, and there's a blob on the... if you ever looked at the some of the websites, they show a picture of a what looks like a halo over the North Pole or to the right of the North Pole. And this particular one had a little green blob in the direction of India, which is where the island is off to the west of India. And that was causing some sort of multipath propagation, which did not allow me to decode the signal from VU4N very well. Missions that are active now, some DX expeditions, and they're fewer now than they were a couple weeks ago, now that the DX contests are over. XT2AW from Burkina Faso is on. ZD7CA from down to St. Helena Island. 3V9AT from Rodriguez is active until January the 6th. And a number of special event stations you'll find out during the Christmas season with the suffix XMAS. XMAS. So if you see those are special event stations. This evening worked at ZA on 60 meters. Harv has been working DX on 60. I'm sure you can tell some of the DX he's worked with. I think he has a new antenna on 60 meters. So that's it for now. Good to see everybody at the meeting. Enjoy the two presentations, and looking forward to Christmas in another week and a day. Back to Net Control. This is K1HTV.
Well, very good there, Rich. K1HTV from K4EI, and thanks for that information on the solar activity, and as well for the de-expeditions going on. So hopefully folks will be able to find some time to enjoy some ham radio during the holidays. Harv, K2PI, great to hear this evening. How are you?
Yep, K4EI and the net from K2PI. Well, good evening. As far as KCW is concerned, I don't have any interference from it, but I've got a Clifton Labs bandpass filter for the AM band, the broadcast band, which is centered on 1420. I had it custom made just to notch out 1420, so it drives it down, I think, 80 dB, so I can barely hear any noise at all on that frequency when that filter is switched in on the receive side, so I don't really have much of a problem with that. Actually, the one on my SDR play does a pretty decent job if you turn on the AM broadcast filter. So, for me, it's not been an issue. What has been an issue is WPRZ, whose transmitter is line of sight from my shack. I can see it. I can see the tower with the light on top from my shack. And that's an FM station on 88.1. It says it's in Brandy Station, but it's not. It's actually the transmitter's right here over in Warrenton off of Lover's Lane. And 29, so it's quite powerful, and it does get into things over here. I've been able to, in a few cases where it's gotten in my way, I've been able to notch it out, but it is quite a strong FM station, so you can get FM interference as well. I guess the other thing Rich mentioned, he recommended an antenna for 15 meters. I was lamenting the fact that when my hex beam was down, I had nothing really for 15. None of my wire antennas worked on 15. So Rich suggested an off-center fed dipole for 60 meters, which will give me 60-meter capability, but also works on multiples of 60 and works on 30 meters as well as 15 meters. And I put that up this weekend. I'm quite happy with it. It's working very well. Worked a number of stations. I had been on 60 meters with my inverted L, but this is a superior antenna, at least in terms of noise. And it's been a lot of fun putting that antenna through its paces this weekend. So I worked at Lebanese Station this weekend that almost nobody, he wasn't hearing anybody else, but he heard me with 50 watts. So I was pretty happy. Back to net, K4EI and the net, K2PI.
Well, real good there, Harv, K2PI from K4EI. Yeah, you know, it's always great when we put a new antenna up and it works well. So the contact to Lebanon, that sounds very, very cool. So. And your bandpass filter for WKCW works. I'm glad that's working well for you. I do pretty much the same thing here at my QTH. Bandpass filter mostly solves that particular station's issues. So I'll have to look into WPRZ. I know there were a couple of other stations in the area, but I've not personally been affected by anything other than WKCW. So interesting, and thanks for sharing that. WD8QCN, Steve, how are you this evening?
K4EI on the net from WD8QCN. Good evening, Jeff. Thanks for picking it up tonight. And, yes, I am far enough away. I don't have any direct broadcast interference, but I have recently dealt with some. As you may have recalled, I was working on that
UHF station out in Guam recently, and that was one of the first things I noticed when I start looking at the preamp, the preamp performances, that it was getting pretty overloaded by local RFI and some broadcast interference about 5 miles away up on the hilltop. It was a very broadband amplifier. It didn't have any integral filtering in it. So, you know, when you have an amplifier like that and strong local signals, look out for intermod, intermod, intermod. That's when you get mixing of strong signals in a nonlinear device, and amplifiers become very nonlinear when they get close to saturation. So, as a couple of you have already pointed out, my advice is filter, 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 filter. Nickel here. And, yeah, so that was the first thing I did was build, and this was FM broadcast interference, by the way, getting into the preamp. So the first thing I did was build a tune stub filter with two legs tuned to one, and the strongest signal in the band was around 105.9 megahertz, and the other one was a little bit farther down the band. So I kind of straddled them and knocked everything down pretty much in the FM band by a good 40 to 50 dB there. So that did the trick for a while, but my next trip out, I came back with a much better designed bandpass filter that had a much steeper slope than the cavity that we had in there before. They did have a cavity bandpass on it, but it just didn't have sharp enough skirts or go nearly low enough, you know, not enough out-of-band attenuation. So that's all I've got for you tonight. I'll turn it back to you, K4EI in the net, WD8QCN.
Well, thanks for that, Steve, WDQCN from K4EI. Yeah, filters make a big difference. And, you know, when you were talking about your experiences over there in Guam, it made me wonder, even with all the issues we have in the States, I'm guessing that a lot of places overseas have even worse situations. And it reminded me of the photograph that Harv K2PI shared on the Reflector some months back about a bunch of the external wiring in the Philippines. And so I'm guessing when you're in a lot of these places overseas, it's even worse and even greater challenges. So anyway, great. Again, thanks for sharing that. W4RKU, Kevin, how are you this evening?
K4EI, W4RKU in the net. Good evening, Jeff. I'm doing fine tonight. I haven't been on radio much this past week. I've been working on other things. As for I live here in Culpeper, so I don't have the local problems that you have in Warrington. And I do have a AM/FM tower next to me, but I'm lucky that the AM only puts out 600 watts on AM, and I think it's about 5 or 6K on FM, but it's directional, and I'm in the null area, but it's still close enough that I get. Not that much of an old area. Like I said, it's less than a mile away. So I'm fortunate that I don't have any interference from those stations. I can feel your pain, that's for sure. That's all I have for tonight. I'll turn back the net over back to you, Jeff. K4EI, W4RKU, back to net.
Well, thanks there, Kevin. W4RKU from K4EI. And it's fortunate that living that close to those towers that you're not experiencing more problems. So that's good on you. So I can't get far enough from WKCW's tower, I guess. Anyway, Justin, NB3A, great to hear this evening. How are you?
Good evening, Jeff and Arthur, K4EI from NB3A. Yeah, KCW was in. It's been an ever-present thorn in my side since I became an amateur. When I was in my old house on Haydai Street, it was a problem. So it was Gordon, when he was running one KW or whatever, pointed directly at me. Since then, and in the last about year, give or take. I've got a DLW Associates fan pass filter, and that thing is great. Very sharp filtering for the AM broadcast band, and it works great. Since I upgraded to a Flex, I haven't needed it, so I haven't really been running it for, 6 months, 7 months now. Haven't really noticed the differences. I'll drop it for a second. I think there was a thread there on the reflector about some potential changes with WKCW. I haven't really noticed it, but I'm not very active on the air from home. So yesterday I was on Sugarloaf Mountain. Weekend before that, somewhere in Missouri, I was able to work Travis on 20 meters from a one-pointer soda activation in an hour and a half southwest of St. Louis in Missouri. So that was good fun. Always fun to work a club member from halfway across the country. And, so that's what I went up to. Anyway, I'll turn it back over to the net. K4EI from NB3A.
All right, we're real good there, Justin. NB3A from K4EI. And, another road for the bandpass filter. So if you get a good one, it makes a world of difference, for sure. The Flex, does that have the facility where you can just kind of, via software, dial in a filter?
So I've got the 6600, and it has pretty good filters unto itself. Otherwise, yeah, you can drop a software filter on a frequency and, like, completely wipe it out. I don't really need to do that. I'll do that if I'm trying to pick up, a very weak signal, like a 5-1 or, someone that's, way down in the noise and I need to hear, and maybe they've got something next to them, that I really want to notch out very strongly. Otherwise, yeah, I haven't noticed that I need it. Maybe I'll throw that on this week and see if it, the filter that I have back in series with the radio and see if that helps me at all. But I kind of don't think it does. With the 7300 other radios that I've had here, it certainly has been needed. The Hermes Light 2 doesn't have the big front-end filtering, neither does the 7300, but the Flex seems to. Anyway, K4EI, NB3A.
Okay, well, very good then there, Justin. NB3A from K4EI. Good information, and it's a lot of the new SDR radio is just pretty amazing with some of the stuff they can do. And speaking of SDRs, K1RA, Andy, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Jeff, and everyone on the net. Good to see everybody at the meeting on Thursday. And say a couple of comments. First, some Meshtastic-related comments. We have a new member on in the club, Stephen, AG4SR, who lives in Gordon's neighborhood on the other side of Blackwell. And he recently came up on Meshtastic this weekend with a little help from myself. And expect to see G4SR, or maybe he's SR-1, on the mesh. Interestingly, while I was helping get Stephen going on the repeater, via the repeater here, David, KK4ZUU, apparently was listening from Centerville and said he'd been on ham mode channel 20 for the last couple of months and not had any activity, and heard I was talking, sent me an email, I responded, and in that same hour that Stephen came online, David, ZZU, KK4ZUU, checked in from Centerville. My guess is via probably Keith Snow down in Midland Catlett. He's got good coverage to another fellow up there in Centerville. So two new additions to the mesh. And I found that I had a bunch of old 900 megahertz whip antennas, probably about 6 inches long, and off another project I was working on some years ago. And I said, hey, Stephen, why don't you take one of these? He was barely making it to my house from his. I said, this is a reverse polarity SMA, but if you stick a little piece of wire in the center pin, you can probably get it to work with your little Meshtastic node. And sure enough, it made about 8 or 10 dB difference between the supplied rubber duck. So anyone who wants to get away from using their one-inch antenna, let me know next meeting. I'll bring a couple of these antennas along. Definitely work quite a bit better than the one-inch. I think these are, as I said, 6 or 7 inches long, so probably some little tiny collinear in there. As far as interference, yes, WKCW has been a thorn in my side since I moved in the area. It's a mile and a half east of me. I think many people forget that there's actually two AM stations, and there's two towers over there, KCW running 22K and WRCW running 6K on 1250. And both those have wreaked havoc on my SDRs. As many know, those are just broadband A to D converters, no filtering at all. They're capturing DC to 6 meters. So the point is they're supposed to take in everything. And they've really saturated both my Kiwi SDR, the Red Pitaya, pretty much any SDR I've had has been really crunched by that RF. Interestingly, WRCW shows up on WWV at its second harmonic on 2.5 megahertz. So that tends to mix with KCW, and during the day I hear both those stations on. But I did build a homebrew notch filter. I designed it with something called AADE filter, which is a freeware download to notch both 1250 and 1420. And they knock down anywhere from 60 to 70 dB. I actually use the Red Pitaya, which normally runs as an SDR in its originally designed mode, which is an oscilloscope signal generator VNA, which was kind of cool to be able to sweep that and get that notched out. So that is taking care of all of my AM daytime interference. Interestingly, when I had a Kenwood TS-850, it was crunched pretty bad, except when I put in the antenna tuner, which would, I guess, make sense, because when you're tuning for a particular band, you're basically notching out, not necessarily notching out others, but passing one band and attenuating outside that band. So that tended to solve most of the overload problems for the 850. Never had any issues with the K3, whether the antenna tuner is in or out. So that's been a very good radio to run here. And then a couple of people mentioned FM broadcast. Harv mentioned WPRZ, which he's line of sight of, a mile and a half to my west. I have three FM broadcasts, and even though if you look them up, they're licensed in Manassas, Culpeper, and Buckland. We have WLZV, and that is running, according to radio-locator.com, it's running 2,000 watts on 94.3, and on 91.3 on that same tower is WARN, which is running 13.5 kilowatts, and also there on that same tower is WWWT, which is the WTOP translator, running a whopping 29 kilowatts. And those pretty much saturate my other skimmer. I mentioned all the CW and FT8 and FT4 skimmers that I run. I didn't mention during my presentation that I run a TV broadcast band skimmer for ATSC, as well as an FM broadcast band skimmer for RDS. And if you compare mine to my dad's, I see very little or not as much just because of overload from that. And unfortunately, any ADSB I've done, 107.7's 10th harmonic shows up around 1090 megahertz, whereas all the ADSB plain transponder traffic shows up. So both sides, high end of the band, low end of the band, you just, Warrenton is not a good place to live if you're trying to receive. Anyway, that's it for me, Jeff. Back to Nat, K1RA.
All right, well, very good there, Andy, K1RA from K4EI. And thanks for getting Stephen rolling on the Meshtastic. It's always good to see someone else join, and the more the merrier, right? And interesting to hear that 900 megahertz antenna made such a difference. So I'm guessing most of us are still rocking the little tiny 2-inch rubber ducky that they come with. So anyway, good to see the additional folks joining. And glad to hear that your notch filter mostly is not there, take WKCW, but yeah, like you say, we've got a number of other stations around, and it's a lot of RF in the area. anyway, thanks again, and thanks for your presentation a few days ago. Gil, KM4OZH, how are you this evening?
K4EI, this is KM4OZH. Oh, good evening, Jeff, and everybody on the net. Well, boy, everybody else has got big stories about AM RFI, and I got nothing. I'm luckily here on the south side of Manassas. I'm guess I got really have no RF problems. There's just my neighbor next door maybe occasionally, but that's another story there. But now, so I just have been working on some regular things here, trying to get some projects getting squared away for January VHF and, of course, Virginia CUSO Party. Never too late to think about that. But that's all I got for this evening. So I'll turn it back over to you, Jeff. It's KM4OZH.
All right. Well, real good there, Gil. Glad to hear that you're rocking your QTH with no RF problems. So that's something of a unicorn sometimes, but glad to hear it, and glad that you're working the January VHF. We're going to have VAQP before we know it, and so that'd be a good tune-up, right? Anyway, we've got KO4VNZ, Chuck, no comment. Thanks for checking in this evening, Chuck. And now we've got KO4BCN. Mike, over to you from K4EI.
K4EI and the rest of the net, this is KO4BCN. I don't seem to have any AM radio preference. I'm here in Bristow, just near Vent Hill and 28. I haven't noticed much, at least that I'm aware of. I have noticed lately some stuff just south of the 17-meter for FT8. There's something that's showing up there that I don't like. I'm worried all these data centers they're building are going to ruin my life here over in Prince William County because they keep coming up. But we'll just have to see how that goes. Otherwise, radio-wise, I've just haven't been doing much except FT8 lately on 17 and some others. Been going all over the world. Been doing a lot of work on my 3D printer and other kind of nerd stuff and enjoying it, trying to get over a cough that I've had for a while. But so I missed the meetings. I'm hoping to feel better maybe by the next one. KO4BCN, back to net.
All right, well, real good there, Mike. Hope you feel better soon and take care of that cough. Glad to hear that Bristow is largely AM RFI free. And, yeah, good luck with the 3D printing. So great to hear you this evening. N2FW, Joe, how are you this evening?
Hello, this is N2FW, Joe in Stafford. Doing good here. Just listening on the net. I think I've heard the net before, but just never checked in. I don't get any AM interference here, though there is a strong AM station north of me at 920 AM. But I don't have any interference. I've had it in the past, where I moved from New Jersey about 10 years ago. A local AM station, I used to be able to pick up on a tone tracer. They weren't that powerful. They were, I think, 3,000 watts. But I was only 2 miles away. So I remember picking them up, and I also picked them up on my 455 IF down from the frequency they were on, and actually, I think, outside of the AM band. And then I've also picked up AM broadcast stations at one place that was coming over the telephone line. So I've had various issues with AM with that. No issues with FM. And trying to think of else. I did have issues with overload. Talking about one guy mentioned filter. I had an HT, and I was going on the VHF contest and went up on top of a hill at the park near me, and I was getting this overload. And that was back in the late 80s where there was the pagers. So I was getting a pager tone on my HT. So it didn't help much to work people with that. Although I did work a guy in New York City who had a cavity filter to get on the 2 meters. Anyway, that's about it. N2FW.
All right, well, real good there. N2FW from K4EI. Your comment about the pager sure brought back some memories. I carried a pager for a long, long time. I'm sure a lot of us did. And, that certainly brings back the days. So Anyway, Joe, it's great to hear this evening. Glad you checked in, and hope you'll check in again in the future. We hold these nets every Wednesday and Sunday evening at 8 p.m., so thanks once again. WABT, Travis, great to hear this evening. How are you?
Hello, Jeff, and all on the net. This is WABT. I've never had any, am I making the repeater okay, Jeff?
No problems, Travis. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I switched radios here and down to half a watt, but anyway, I've never experienced too much interference from the AM stations, although KCW was, I think when I had the TS-850 a year or two ago, it was like 40 over 9 here, but 1460 had a Spanish station.
Updated weather information. Wind advisory. Wind advisory.
Well, thanks there, Travis, WABT from K4EI. And, yeah, you know, the contacting Justin the way you did that, that sounds really, really cool. So glad you were able to do that. And glad to hear that you're mostly RFI free at your QTH there. Let's see, KD4 Whiskey Lima Delta. How are you this evening?
K4EI, this is KD4WLD. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for running the net. Regarding your question, I am still fairly new to the hobby, so haven't had much experience with interference, thankfully. But listening to everyone else talk, I realize that there's a lot I have left to learn. That's everything I have for this evening. K4EI from KD4WLD, back to net.
Well, thanks, Danielle. I appreciate your comments this evening. And, yeah, you know, one of the wonderful things about ham radio is that we're all kind of new to it in the sense that you never learn at all, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So, yeah, we're all still learning in this thing. So that's one of the things that makes it so wonderful. Let's see, that brings us to the end of the list of the original check-ins. So let's see now if there are any additional check-ins or rechecks. If so, please call K4EI now.
This is K4HCO, Jeremiah.
This is November 3, Kilo Delta Charlie Mobile out here running around in the rain.
All right, the November 3, Kilo Delta Charlie Mobile. Let's go to you first since you're driving in the rain. How are you this evening?
Doing okay. Name here is Bob, and I'm out here in Fairfax County. On my way to Dulles Airport to pick up my wife. I was away for a week, and she was away for 2 weeks. So that's the only reason I'm out here driving in this crazy weather. We're going to get a lot of rain, and hopefully everybody stays safe and doesn't get any kind of wind damage there. So thanks for picking me up. N3 KDC, back to net control.
All right, well, thank you there, Bob. You drive careful, and I know you'll be looking forward to get back home with your wife, and safe travels there. The station above, Bob, I didn't catch your entire call. K4, can you come back slowly, please?
This is Kilo 4, Hotel Charlie Oscar. Name's Jeremiah.
Very good, Jeremiah. K4HCO, how are you this evening?
Doing well. Just heading back to the QCH. Sunday night's the busy night for the nets. Catch the NBCN and the Loudoun County's nets at 8 o'clock. And then if I can make it in time, I try to catch the end of this one. Yeah, don't have too much experience with AM interference or FM. Most of my activations and radio play is away from my house, mostly because of the massive amount of interference I get from AC air compressors. I live in a stacked condo, and there's 10 different compressor units all within a quick shot of my antenna. VHF and UHF work pretty well, but that's about it. So K4HCO, back to net.
All right there, Jeremiah. K4HCO from K4EI. Yeah, that's interesting about the AC compressor units. I'm not surprised, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's that just kind of unwinds it. There's a whole bunch of different ways that we can end up with noise and RFI. So anyway, thanks for checking in this evening. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the list. This is K4EI for the Farinet. I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion, or if you have a topic that you would like to have discussed on a future net, please email us at farahnet@w4va.org. If you would like information on Farah in general, please visit our website at w4va.org. And this is K4EI closing the Farahnet and returning the repeater to normal use. Thank you and good evening. 73.
KW4TO.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing? K1RA.
We got some pretty heavy rain down here. How are things up there?
Yeah, the fog moved in a while ago, and yeah, it's been raining since, I guess, probably around 6 o'clock. I can hear it hanging on the roof here above me on the second floor here in the den. So, yeah, I think it's supposed to be pretty heavy through the morning, and then we've got a wind advisory up here tomorrow from like 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I guess there was some kind of a solar event earlier today or yesterday. Did you notice any effects from that?
I haven't really been on the air at all. I occasionally watch my SDRs and some of my broadband skimmers. Looks like there was a little bit of a downward turn in propagation over the last, 12 or 24 hours. There was the X2.8 flare on, was it Friday, which passed the Earth, I guess, earlier today. K-Index got 5 to 7 range. I know it negatively affected some of the polar paths to Asia and Europe a little bit, but was not as severe as I think people thought it might be. I don't think we had any VHF aurora any enhancement during the flare on 6 meters, which I know has happened in some of the previous X flares we've had over the past couple of months. So, I guess overall not really too bad. I know we had K4HCO who did some POTA over the weekend, and he said 17 and 20 meters were pretty good for him, and there's a couple other stations out that were on HF as well. So overall, I think it was an okay weekend. It surely wasn't radio blackout conditions.
It was interesting. So my primary internet is Starlink, and I've had it about a year and a half, and it's been excellent. It's been very reliable. But today I was trying to help my mother with a computer problem. And so I was doing screen sharing with her, and the connection just got really, really weird. And I was wondering, I don't know the details on the frequencies that it uses, but it's in the multiple gigahertz. I don't know if it's 10 gigahertz, 20 gigahertz. I don't know from what you know about propagation, would a high frequency like that be from a low Earth orbit satellite to Earth be affected by the level 5 to 7 K index?
I don't think there's ever been any aurora effects over 400 megahertz that I've ever known in the couple decades I've heard of and worked some of the VHF and UHF bands. So, the higher frequencies, like, Starlink is, I think, 10 to 12 gigahertz and 30 to 40 gigahertz, maybe. That's probably not it. I have heard, when the sun is behind some of the satellites, XM and some of the other telecom satellites, that when the ground stations are pointing at the satellites, and of course the sun is noisy, there's been some issues with that type of interference. But don't know what the conditions might be at 10 gigs. I know there is there's such thing as rain scatter at 10 gigs. I know people who've been doing hamband DXing on 10 gigahertz over hundreds of miles, bouncing signals off of rain clouds or heavy rainstorms. Again, not sure if that has any effect on the Starlink satellites.
I have it. That's probably what it was, actually. When there's really dense, thick moisture in the atmosphere, It's only happened a couple of times. I guess this one must have been strong enough to cause the effect. It happened last summer when we had a really heavy thunderstorm. The internet went out. But it's pretty rare because, you know, the satellites are moving across the horizon, so even if there's something right above you, you know, there's multiple angles to get signal. But if you're really socked in, I guess it can block you out. Well, then I had another question that I think you might know. This is on the Forerunner. Can you remind me again, how did you route, where did you end up putting your radio, and how did you end up routing the power from the battery to your radio in the Forerunner? Is there like a grommet in the firewall that you used?
K1RA. I think there was a cable for the odometer, speedometer? I don't believe there was a special, like a standalone grommet, but there was something that went through the firewall. I don't know if it was part of the wiring harness or if it was for the speedometer, but, yeah, I mean, it's an old 98, so. Wasn't digital, but yeah. Anyway, whatever it was behind the steering wheel and up in the firewall. They made the 12-volt run to the battery.
Okay, yeah. That I just ordered a new. Oh, this was kind of interesting. So I was shopping for a dual band mobile antenna, and I did a bunch of research on 5/8 wave, which is what 30 or 40 inches. Versus a quarter wave, which is about 18 or 19 inches. And according to some modeling for car roof, for the average car roof, there's actually not that much difference according to a couple of the simulation results that I was reading. Even though the 5/8 wave is very popular, he was saying that it's more of a marketing thing, and so I decided to order a quarter wave size antenna, but after I ordered it, it's a Larson. After I did some more reading on the antenna that I sort of quickly ordered, it's a dual band, 2 meter, 70 centimeter. It's supposedly a half wave loaded base fed. So it's designed to not need the ground plane of the car. I didn't really intend to order that, but it'll be interesting to see how it performs. So it has, it's an end loaded, it's a loaded half wave, fed at the end, so it doesn't use the ground plane of the vehicle as a counterpoise. So I don't know if you've ever messed around with a mobile antenna like that for 2 meters.
I've used the 5/8 wave mag mount for 2 meters, and then I had a, 70 centimeter, 2 meter collinear. In the past I've had a half wave 2 meter whip, collapsible whip that I used to use on an HT. It had a BNC connector on the bottom, and put it in one of the old ICOM HTs I used to have. And I do recall, yes, it did not require a ground plane like a say 19 inch quarter wave whip antenna on 2 meters. Where you really do need a ground plane. So, but nothing for the mobile. You know, the difference between quarter wave and 5/8 on 2 meters. I mean, you'll have a different antenna pattern. I know, for example, the quarter wave has a much higher angle radiation pattern. If you look at the plane, it's probably more bulbous up in the air and say at 45 degrees. And I think the 5/8 its gain is closer to the horizon. So I guess if you're in the valley and the repeater's up above you, quarter wave would be good. But if you're out at a distance and trying to work a repeater at a distance, probably 5/8 is better, has its gain lobe closer to the horizon.
Yeah, so I might end up, I'm a little bit on the fringe here. I'm not close to anywhere, so Warrenton is sort of on the fringe for me, and Charlottesville is on the fringe for me. Harrisonburg is on the other side of the mountain, so I'm not really close to anywhere, and I need to try to optimize my antenna. So I'm going to probably end up getting a few different ones and doing like a bake-off.
Very good. Yeah, well, that's part of the fun of the hobby, right, is experimenting A-B comparisons. And yeah, as my dad says, you can never have too many antennas. When one is not working right, the other one fills in the voids or the blanks or the nulls. So, yeah, good deal.
Well, very good. I'll let you get ready for the week. Hope you have a good week coming up. I don't know about you. I'm going to be working this week, and then I'm taking next week off for Christmas. But this week will be a regular work week. So I'm assuming you'll probably be working this week as well, so I should probably let you get ready for the work week.
Yeah, I got to get cleaned up, answering a few emails. I was working on the rear brakes on the Honda today, and after getting it apart, realized it was a little bit more work. I had to find some additional parts at the store and got one done, and at least I know what I'm in store for tomorrow. So, yeah, tomorrow's a down day. Tuesday's a work day in Ashburn for me, and finishing up migrating a core network, 4G LTE core network, for a customer and in a data center, and I think once that's done, I'm on vacation, or at least telling people so. At least sticking around home and not wanting to go anywhere. I'll do remote support only. So, well, good hearing you on. Yeah, enjoy the holiday. I'm sure I'll catch you on the repeater here, and look forward to hearing more on your experimenting and trying different antennas as they come in and get things going down there. So, 73, Glenn, we'll catch you later. K1RA.
Welcome to the W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. Grid Square FM 18 Bravo Radio.
Sounds good. Have a good night and a good week. K1RA, this is KW4TO, 73.